Our next presentation is the legislative review panel. So I will start the introductions and y'all can make your way up here. Our moderator today is Chris Reeder. Chris is a partner practicing in Hush Blackwell's Energy and Natural Resources Business Unit, focusing on electric regulatory matters for a wide variety of clients. Chris focuses on a broad scope of regulatory issues, including compliance and enforcement, commercial and settlement disputes, market structure, development-related matters, rates, transmission systems, access, policy questions, and registration and certification questions. And our speakers include John Arnold, who's a partner in Houston's office of Locke Lord, where he represents energy companies in a broad range of regulatory and commercial matters, including regulatory compliance and disputes, as well as energy and project development and commercial transactions. Philip Oldham is a partner based in the Austin office of O'Melveny & Myers. Philip focuses practice on energy and energy-related project development, acquisitions, infrastructure, and development and transactions, federal and state regulatory and administrative law, and administrative litigation. And then finally, Michelle Richmonds is the executive director for the Texas Competitive Power Advocates, a nonprofit trade association dedicated to helping ensure a successful energy future for Texas by investing in and operating diversified energy sources to ensure ample, reliable, and affordable electricity for Texas consumers. So thank you, and we can get started.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks, everybody, for being here, and appreciate everyone that's on the panel. I guess we don't have as many panels as we have individual presenters and CLE, but we thought this would be a great topic for a panel discussion because there's obviously a number of divergent views and different perspectives out there. So we thought this would be great for a discussion. Got a great panel here, so just going to plunge into asking some questions. But I guess before I do that, I'll just ask panel members if anybody wants to share some sort of kind of opening thoughts, if you will. If not, we can just start talking about the questions.
I say dive in.
All right. we'll be diving in. So let's just kind of go down the row and see from each of you, what are your main takeaways from the recently concluded legislative session? Philip, you want to go ahead?
Sure. So I've been doing this for, as most of you know, quite a long time. I would say this was the most active legislative session, certainly since I've been doing it, probably since 99 anyway, when Senate Bill 7 was implemented. And that was a bit surprising just because it came on the heels of probably the second most active legislative session since 1999, which was in 2021. So I think this was alluded to by the prior speaker. You know, the legislature is no longer content sitting back and letting the processes play out at ERCOT and the PUC. There's been a ton of turnover. And so I guess I would just say, hang on to your hats as we discuss these items, because we won't get to it all in the 45 minutes we have. There was so much legislation passed. It is going to be such a challenge for the agency to implement. That's my overview.
In somewhat of a contrast to the prior speaker, and I think he's entirely accurate that with respect to legislation that was actually passed, it really was crickets. There was very little that ultimately was enacted, signed by the governor, and has to be implemented by the Railroad Commission. It was, however, a very, very active session, particularly as an outgrowth of the desire to respond to issues identified in gas delivery to power generation from Winter Storm Uri. And so from that standpoint, there actually was quite a lot of legislation in that specific arena, in particular to those customers, that in many ways represented what would be a wholesale shift from the way in which gas utility pipeline companies that serve power generation would have conducted their business. But in many cases, the legislation wasn't limited to those circumstances. It often tried to do that, but it often would have swept much more broadly. And as a result, I think there was sort of a response from the industry, including participation with the Railroad Commission, that treated it as somewhat of an existential threat, if you will.